Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Law, the host of Sandbox Radio. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. This episode, Spring Fever, was recorded in front of a live audience at ACT Theater in Seattle on April 27th, 2015. It features special guests Sam and Candace Vance, the latest installment in our sci-fi series Beyond the Box, with SOS from Beneath the Sea by Jim Moran, new radio plays from Emily Kunbert, Elizabeth Heffron, and Wayne Raleigh, poems by A.A. Milne and Hilaire Belloc, some blues, some jazz, some country, and much, much more. So settle in and get ready, because here comes Spring Fever.
Sandbox Radio will stay all day. In the backyard we'll play. Jump into our sandbox.
We build castles and kings. Words become things.
Welcome to Sandbox Radio! Coming to you live from ACT Theater in the heart of downtown Rain City, Seattle. Tonight, Martha's Story from Emily Kunbert. Our sci-fi series Beyond the Box returns with a new episode by Jim Moran. Wayne Raleigh teaches us how happiness is like a beautiful, bright, shiny red apple. And Elizabeth Heffron takes us on a road trip to Tulip Country with special musical guests Sam and Candace Vance! Plus all your favorite Sandbox Radio players and music from the Sandbox Radio Orchestra led by Jose Juicy Gonzalez. So, sit back and relax, y'all, as we take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
Sandbox Radio.
Here's my theory.
Spill it.
A podcast is just like sex. Uh-huh. It has three parts, before, during, and after. Then there's even a climax involved in both, if done well.
Sandbox Radio.
There better be a climax in this podcast.
Sandbox Radio, Spring Fever, that's why we're here.
I mean, Spring Fever is all about sex, right?
Yes, and it's perfect timing, because I'm giving up sex tomorrow for Lent.
Oh.
Good evening, and welcome to Sandbox Radio.
What are you giving up?
Lame stuff.
Like what?
Like my dreams.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm sick of my dreams. I'm much more comfortable living vicariously through someone else's.
Yeah.
So I've decided to quit dreaming, forget my life. I have other people's stories.
Awesome.
Why give up sex for Lent? Were you having a lot of sex beforehand?
With my husband?
Yeah.
No.
With someone else?
No.
So you're not really giving anything up because you weren't having it anyways?
I had it in other ways.
What do you mean?
Mentally.
You had mental sex?
Yes.
With who?
Everyone.
Everyone?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Okay. What is mental sex?
Well, you're not satisfied with your life, so you listen to other people's stories to fix it. I'm not satisfied with mine, so I use my imagination to fix it. My mental capacities.
Oh.
Honestly, it's better than what you do.
I wasn't judging you.
No, I know. I was judging you.
Oh.
I fantasize with my imagination. You fantasize through someone else's imagination.
So you're not giving up the actual act of sex for Lent. You're giving up mental sex. Like, if your husband did want to have sex, you could have it. You just couldn't imagine it?
Shut up! I'm just giving up on sex, period.
Giving up on sex? Look, you can take a break from it for Lent, but don't give up on it as a concept. That's just depressing.
Well, at least I don't need to live through someone else's story to feel like a real person. And really, who are the real people?
Like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow or someone.
But how do we even know she's real? Maybe she's just made up.
Oh, she's real. She came into a restaurant where I waitressed in my 20s.
What did she order?
Crab cakes.
There's Martha.
Oh, my God. She's wearing pajamas.
She looks crazy.
She's wearing slippers and has an eye mask around her neck.
She looks like crap. Don't say anything.
I can't. I'm speechless.
I just had the best sex last night.
Oh.
It was like everything happened all at once.
Are you serious?
No way.
It was amazing.
Well.
Huh.
The five senses turned on like a waterfall. Taste, touch, smell.
We know the five senses.
We've got it, Martha.
Oh.
Where were your kids?
Sleeping.
I thought they sleep with you.
They do.
Were they sleeping with you while you had sex?
What kind of question is that?
Sheila's been using her imagination more lately.
No, my children weren't with me.
I mean, you co-sleep, so...
Are your children with you when you have sex?
Sheila doesn't have sex. She just imagines it.
Louise doesn't imagine sex. She just hears about it through audio.
Podcasts, hence why we're here.
Is this Sandbox Radio episode about sex?
Well, yeah. Everyone knows that. Spring fever.
I didn't know that. I thought that meant, like, you want spring to come.
No, it means sex.
Joyful, gleeful sex?
Like the kind you had last night, apparently.
Was it with your husband?
Of course it was.
Why was it so good?
I just abandoned myself finally and really let loose.
So to have good sex, you have to abandon yourself.
Yes. I abandoned myself. I left her behind.
Where is Martha while you're abandoning yourself?
Grocery shopping.
Oh.
Huh.
Organic like a nice place or just a regular store?
Organic.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're having great sex, part of you is at the grocery store?
Uh-huh.
Well, like, did that part of you ever come back from the store?
No. The Martha I abandoned, she's in the checkout aisle and she can't get out.
Is she alone?
She's very lonely, but no, there's the boy doing the checking.
What's his name?
His name tag says Fred, but it's a lie. I don't know how I know, I just know.
Then what happens to that Martha?
She's stuck in the checkout aisle with her kids in the cart and her part-time job in her purse. I'm still trying to find her, really.
Wow, that sounds like amazing sex.
Like almost tantric.
Yeah. I don't know where that lady went that, you know, had that really good sex. Screw her. She is sleeping with my husband, and I hate her.
What a bitch. I never really liked that Martha either.
Yeah, I was always jealous of her.
And now I'm about to sit with other people and listen to stories about sex? I mean, look who we're sitting with. I don't want to get turned on with these people. I don't get turned on anymore. That's not me.
Okay, well, what do you want to do? Listen to, like, Prairie Home Companion?
No, I just... If something starts getting too sexual, I just close my eyes. Don't watch. If I start getting stimulated, you know, by life, I can't handle it. I just shut down.
And go back to the checkout aisle?
I am putting my eye mask on and my earplugs in.
But Martha... Jesus. When did we get so repressed?
We wanted so much.
We couldn't hold all of that want. It just got bigger and bigger, unmanageable, overwhelming.
The more middle-aged we are, the more we see what we can have that we don't have.
Whiskey.
Money.
Houses.
Vacations.
Perfect family.
Perfect photo albums.
New York apartment.
Beach house.
Summer cabin.
Good restaurants.
We want so goddamn much.
That we just give it all up. And hand it over.
Yeah. But here, have some whiskey.
You have whiskey?
Always. We say what we want only happens in podcasts, on TV, and movies. And then we let our real lives be mediocre, shitty, half-assed.
Be just like this.
Like what?
Like three pathetic best friends that drink shitty whiskey and can't enjoy real life anymore.
What happened to us?
Well, somewhere, somehow.
We abandoned ourselves.
So are we supposed to just be like this then? Just walk around always mildly unsatisfied?
Just enjoy the podcast.
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's voice.
Are you sure?
It totally is. I recognize it from the restaurant when she ordered the crab cakes.
I didn't order crab cakes, Louise. I ordered beefsteak tomatoes harvested by Mario Batali.
Really? I'm sorry. You must be right, Gwyneth. My mistake.
You're in a comfortable chair?
Yes. You're right, Gwyneth.
You are in a comfortable chair too, Sheila.
Yes.
You're next to your best friend. You probably have treats. You're going to get a glass of wine after this. Oh. Then you'll go home and see your family, and you'll think they're beautiful. Oh. Then you'll quit your job and do something you like more that really resonates with you. Oh. You and your husband will start having more sex and more dinner parties. The kids will leave for great colleges. You'll move to Florida briefly for retirement and feed baby alligators marshmallows. Oh. And then you'll love your grandchildren like crazy. And when you're on your deathbed, you'll think back on all of it, and it is a podcast. Oh. It's a great, big, wonderful podcast about you, and you'll get to hear it. You'll get to hear the sounds of one big, fluffy marshmallow as you throw it up into the bright blue sky, and it tumbles into slow motion right down into your wrinkled, loving hands. Oh. Stop imagining things and make it happen. Just create it beautifully. Write your own beautiful life.
Did she just really say that?
You need to take her words to heart, Sheila.
The same goes for you.
She ordered crab cakes. You didn't order beefsteak tomatoes, Gwyneth. You ordered crab cakes.
I ordered crab cakes.
That's amazing.
There you go, Louise. You write the podcast.
What about Martha?
She doesn't know she's the writer yet. She's like a really tired mom who lost her identity, lost her sex drive, lost her sense of self. You know, she's just really overwhelmed and lost in the dark. Unless we do something, it might be a while until she gets out.
Let's get her headphones. Let's bring her back to the sweet world we live in. Let's help her write her story.
And we'll ask if they'll podcast it on Sandbox Radio.
The Spring Fever episode.
Perfect. Hey, Martha. Martha, take out your earplugs and open your eyes.
There's something special that's about to happen.
And it has to do with beautiful you.
Asked the queen.
And the queen asked the dairymaid.
Could we have some butter for the royal slice of bread?
The queen asked the dairymaid.
The dairymaid said, certainly, I'll go and tell the cow now before she goes to bed. Oh. She curtsied and went and told the alderney, don't forget the butter for the royal slice of bread.
Oh, the alderney said sleepily, you better tell his majesty that many people nowadays like marmalade instead. Oh.
The dairymaid said, fancy, and went to Her Majesty. She curtsied to the Queen. She turned a little red. Excuse me, Your Majesty, for taking of the liberty, but marmalade is tasty if it's very thickly spread.
Ooh. Marmalade?
That's right.
The Queen said, oh, and went to His Majesty. Talking of the butter for the royal slice of bread, many people think that marmalade is nicer. Would you like to try a little marmalade instead? The King said, bother. And then he said,
oh dear me.
The King sobbed,
oh dearie me, and went back to bed. Nobody, he whimpered, could call me a fussy man.
He only wants a little bit of butter for his bread.
It's wrong, he just wants a little butter. What's wrong with that? No, butter's okay.
Absolutely.
I think he deserves it.
The Queen said, there, there, and went to the dairymaid.
The dairymaid said, there, there, and went to the shed.
The cow said, there, there, I didn't really mean it. Here's milk for his porringer and butter for his bread.
Milk for his porringer and butter for his bread. Hooray!
The Queen took the butter and brought it to His Majesty.
The King said, butter, eh? And bounced out of bed. Nobody, he said,
as he kissed her tenderly.
Nobody, he said,
as he slid down the banisters.
Nobody, my darling, could call me a fussy man. But I do like a little bit of butter to my bread.
He likes a bit of butter to his bread.
Message is brought to you by Coal Free Washington.
Drive faster, please.
I can't. It's a school zone.
There's no kids. It's Saturday.
I don't feel good about breaking the law. Well, what is it?
My water just broke. I need a towel.
Oh, this is not happening. This is my new Prius.
Where's the hospital?
Well, I don't know. The GPS isn't working.
At the next intersection, turn left.
Turn left?
Well, it's a dirt road. There's no hospital. Well, what is it?
It's time. You're going to have to do this pullover.
No, no way, man. This isn't even my kid.
We need to talk about that.
Well, I'm sure it's not my kid. Just hold it in. I think we're almost there.
At the train tracks, wait for the approaching train.
What train?
Stop! Oh, my God!
It's just a train, okay? No worries. Well, just wait. I really like trains. This one's pretty long. Well, don't do that. You'll dislodge the thing.
Do you like me?
It's not my kid. Stop coughing.
I can't help it. It's so dusty.
Some kind of black coal dust.
It's coming from the train.
It looks like coal. Miles and miles of coal.
Put out the window.
What is all this coal doing on a train?
The coal is being shipped to deep water ports in Bellingham and Longview, where it will be sold to Asian conglomerates, resulting in a massive increase of atmospheric carbon.
What did you say?
At the next intersection, turn left.
Oh, we can't go anywhere. That train is miles long. All I can see is coal dust.
Is this going to be bad for our baby?
It's not our baby.
Coal dust contains arsenic, lead, mercury, and a wealth of other toxins and carcinogens.
How do I turn this thing off?
Wait! How did all of this happen without our knowing it?
Corporate greed and lax oversight.
Oh, that's terrible. What can we do to stop it?
Join the Sierra Club's coal-free Washington campaign at sierraclub.org/coal/gua.
This is a great GPS system. Here he comes.
Whoa!
For more information about the Beyond Coal campaign and to find out how to get involved in the fight for a coal-free Washington, visit sierraclub.org/beyondcoal/WA.
He looks just like you.
Wow, he really does.
That's sierraclub.org/beyondcoal/WA.
Entropy, chaos, oblivion. Forces that shape our destinies watch as we blunder about within our self-imposed asylums. They are observing us from that unfathomable region, that place from which no traveler returns unchanged, from beyond the box.
Got below, Kathy?
It's a scattered mass of something. About 3 meters.
School of fish?
These waters are too shallow for a school that big, Trent. It's most likely a buildup of kelp or seaweed.
Guess I was getting my hopes up for another catch.
Nah, I think what we've got on ice in the hold is gonna have to do for this trip.
Bridge, come in.
Go ahead, Captain.
Report on that mass you detected.
We assess that buildup to be nothing to worry about. Current depth, about 85 meters.
All right, keep me posted. Set course 10 degrees northwest, bearing 158, and maintain.
Aye, aye, Captain.
A fishing boat alone at sea on a foggy night making its way to its port of destination. A trip this vessel has made hundreds of times, but unbeknownst to the ship and its crew, the voyage of Sinbad would pale in comparison. For too long, the human race has had an ailing relationship with its oceans. And on this night, visitors will come to announce an upcoming doom. Tonight's episode, The SOS from Beneath the Sea, by Jim Moran.
This fog is like pea soup. Probably the only thing stopping us from putting our fish into port before midnight.
Do you hear that? Turn up the radio. What is that? Some extra frequency we're picking up.
Frequency I've never heard. I'll see if I can get it cleaner. What was that?
I don't know. A big wave of something.
Any idea what it is?
Sometimes we get some pings bouncing off the reef below, but nothing like this. I'll adjust the sensitivity on the transducer, see if I can get a better picture. What the?
The power's out!
I can't see anything!
Hold on. I know there's a flashlight here. I'll find it. Wait, here we go. There. Whole boat's dark. I'll fire up the emergency generator. At least we'll have the comms.
Do you think the power loss has anything to do with the...
We've lost power and our engine has completely stopped. Report.
All equipment was running fine. We saw no evidence of any short circuit
or overload.
This is the captain. All hands report to the bridge immediately. All hands report to the bridge.
Fog that won't let us see the shore until it's right up our nose, and now my boat is floating dead in the water, and we're storing a catch in the hold with no power for refrigeration. I'm not happy. Jake?
Yeah, Captain.
Head to the bow. Keep your eyes peeled for any debris might give us problems for our props. Take someone with you.
Aye, Captain. You, what's your name again?
Name's Ned, sir. Crane operator.
So you know where the bow is?
Sure, you just head to the front of the boat.
Come on.
Captain, I saw something on sonar I've never seen before. And right after that, we lost power. I believe we should seek assistance. I'd like to signal a mayday immediately.
What the hell?
All I want is to get my boat moving and make it into port with our fish. Now you and Trent head down below, get full power back up.
Aye, Captain.
Sure is a calm night at sea, sir.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It's sort of peaceful how we're only hearing the waves. No engines pumping, no propellers churning. We aren't dropping the nets, running around for a catch.
Yeah, just the sound of the sea. Ned, right?
Yes, sir. I run the crane.
What was that?
What, sir?
Shine your flashlight over there.
Looks like seaweed.
I don't remember walking past it.
Well, it is pretty dark, sir. Maybe we missed it.
There. Over there, another glob of seaweed. Where's it coming from? It's jumping out of the water onto the deck.
I've never seen seaweed just hop out of the water.
Look! There's more!
Sir, look at this seaweed pile over here. It's growing.
Oh my God, it is! How is this happening? It's actually getting taller! It's forming into some sort of shape! What is this thing?
Sir, this one is growing too! And so is that one! And that one!
Let's get back to the bridge. We have to report this. Just back up slowly, Ned.
They're surrounding us!
Slowly, slowly.
Whatever these things are, they're alive!
That's impossible!
Yes, sir! Behind you!
No.
Hey!
What's going on?
Make your way to the lifeboat now! They're everywhere!
What are?
What in God's name are those? No!
Stay back, Kathy!
The bullets are having no effect.
It's as if they're just absorbing them.
Let me try this.
The fire extinguisher?
Move aside!
The backing lock! It's working!
Come on, get below. We can lock ourselves in.
Right!
We've got to send out an SOS right away.
This comm seems to be working. What do we say? They'll think we're crazy.
We tell them we're under attack. We say, we need help now. We need the Navy.
Who is down there?
Captain, is that you?
Who is down in that chamber of this vessel?
It's Trent, Captain.
Your name is Trent?
Yes, Captain. Navigation and radio operator. And Kathy, sonar technician.
Please make your way up to the highest area at once.
Captain, are you all right? Those creatures that have raided our boat, they're everywhere up there.
Everything is under control. Once you exit that chamber, they will not harm you, nor the one whose name is Kathy.
Aye, aye, sir. He sounds very strange.
Maybe he's in shock.
He says things are under control now.
Why would he lie? Look, let's try to make our way to the bridge and see what's going on. We have the fire extinguisher. Those things seem vulnerable to blasts of carbon dioxide, just like other sea life. Maybe they come from the sea somehow.
How could that be?
Careful! What the hell?
They're just standing there, like soldiers. Why aren't they attacking us?
Just keep moving. Captain's up ahead.
Oh, jeez. Oh, the smell is awful.
Captain McCandless, are you all right?
I am not your Captain McCandless. I took on his physical form to command your attention.
Who are you?
My origin is a place that you would understand as the depths of outer space. Our technology is far, far more advanced than yours, specifically in the realm of biology, where we can harness its control.
So you created these creatures? You control them?
We received a distress signal from this planet. Your species has been laying waste to thousands of other living beings who reside in the sea, destroying the ecological harmony. My race answers the beacon of other intelligent life forms in the galaxy, asking for assistance.
Who sent the signal?
Beings dependent on the quality of this planet's oceans in order to abide.
So, you're like the universe's police?
We do not draw such comparisons.
But why us? There are thousands of boats out there.
Yes, and they will be handled as well. We can manipulate the energy found in your seawater to generate a blast that will destroy and sink them all.
Why are you doing this?
Control of technology has given human beings dominance over other life forms whose biological limitations have left them at a disadvantage. I have arrived to help even out the playing field.
So, are we talking war?
Yes. That is a concept that's prevalent on this world. And you have been the prime instigators.
Oh, yeah? Well, we have another concept on this world, Mr. Spaceman, and that's fighting for our lives.
Perhaps it would be in your interest to lessen your anger.
How's this for a technological advantage?
Trent, no!
Is your species not destructive to the oceans of this planet?
We're not perfect. We are far from perfect. But we depend on other living things who themselves depend on other living things. Underneath the seas are creatures that feed on each other, too. It's the natural process of our world.
This is what we consider disorder. We only know of harmony. That is the only way to evolve.
Give us the opportunity, and we can evolve, like you.
Your species has dominance over all here. You stand above this chaos?
We try to, but we need to be better.
Your species would like our help, bringing order to your chaos.
Oh, yes.
I understand now. It is you that need our help.
I think that's true. What the?
You will find the power returned. You may take this vessel to your original destination.
Wait, where are you going?
To tell the others.
Wait, tell them what?
It is settled.
And he was gone, followed by the creatures of the sea. The nightmare at sea was over. Or was it? What Kathy saw as the vessel approached land all along the shore, the water receding, revealed a slimy wall composed of what had been the life forms of the sea, now bloated corpses.
No! No!
The chaos, the disorder that once existed in the habitat of the sea, now eradicated. The oceans now evaporated into valleys of salt and dirt. A cry for help meant to eliminate man from Earth and protect the beings of the sea, gone terribly wrong. An SOS from beneath the sea received and misunderstood by a collective force beyond the stars.
extra shout out to our sound effects team for that one. Yes, ladies, it has come that time. Time for you to talk about your dog, because I'm sure going to talk about mine. You have to make that dog understand that you are the boss. And if you can't deal with it, just take your little tiny key and get lost. Tell him, baby, I'm sorry, I think you got to go. I don't think your little key fits my lock no more. Listen, baby, read my lips and understand. No longer can you be my only keyhole man. You had the right key, baby, but you stuck it in the wrong keyhole. Yeah, go on, let me tell you something. My friend Miss Liza and her man had a falling out. He said, get someone else if you can. I'm gone without a doubt. Things got tough, and he came back last night at 9 o'clock. He turned his key in the old front door, but the key wouldn't fit the lock. He pushed it in and turned it round and round and took it out. And just as he was about to try again, he heard Miss Eliza shout, you got the right key, but the wrong keyhole. I couldn't get along with you to save my soul. Early yesterday morning, I went to the hardware store. You're still trying to. So take my tip, honey, leave my door, because your key don't fit my lock no more. I say you got the right key, but you're working on the wrong keyhole.
Ah,
listening to Sandbox Radio. Mark your calendars for our next live show coming up on October 5th. It'll be our first time at Town Hall Seattle, and we'd love to see you there. Ticket and live show information can be found at our website. This show is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Go to sandboxradio.org and click on Support to make a donation. Now back to the show, and a piece from one of our favorite contributors, Wayne Rawley.
This is going very well, Jacob. This is going very well. How are we doing? Are you okay?
No.
Are you having fun?
No.
What's wrong?
I'm sweating. Am I sweating? I'm sweating. Jesus Christ.
You're not sweating. You're sweating a little bit. It's hot in here. Everyone is sweating.
You're not sweating.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm just having a nice couple of no pressure, not the end of the oh my god freaking world drinks with a nice woman. What are you doing?
I'm sweating.
Well, stop it.
You're confident.
Of course I'm confident. Why wouldn't I be confident? What is there not to be confident about? We're not curing cancer, Jacob. We're not negotiating the release of hostages. We're just having drinks. And what, I ask you, what is sitting over there that wouldn't want some of what is over here buying the drinks? What did I tell you on the way over here?
I don't know.
What did I tell you?
We got it going on.
What?
We got it going on.
That's right. We got it going on.
She is pretty.
Yeah?
Sure.
You think she's pretty?
Yeah, sure.
She is pretty.
Too pretty.
Not too pretty.
Too pretty.
Not too pretty.
I'm ugly.
What?
I'm ugly.
No, what? What kind of talk is that now?
Yes, I am.
You are not ugly.
Yes, I am.
Dude, you are handsome, man.
No.
A handsome, handsome man.
Really?
Can we not do this in public? Jacob, please, don't make me do this at the bar.
I'm okay looking, I guess, but you think I'm handsome?
Dude, you're a fox.
Okay.
You're foxy.
Okay, that's making me uncomfortable.
Well, then don't...
Well, don't tell me I'm foxy in public.
Then take the drinks and let's go back to the table and show this girl that you are the awesome guy that you are. And that every minute she spends with you is a minute spent improving her life as a whole.
That goal seems lofty.
What are you doing? Put the mirror down. Why are you blemish hunting? Stop it. This zit is getting bigger. It's barely noticeable except for the fact that you keep pointing at it. Put the mirror down. Am I snorting when I laugh?
You haven't laughed yet.
That's because when I laugh, sometimes I snort.
You've barely said four
I'm
words.
I'm a snorter.
Well,
be sure not to laugh at anything he says because that is a surefire way to let someone know that you're into them. Men are, as a general rule, turned off by the snorting.
Actually, Sarah, most people think it's cute. When you actually do snort, which isn't often, it is a cute little snort.
What am I doing here?
You are looking cute, laughing, not snorting, and having fun.
What do I think is going to happen? We're going to hit it off. We're going to glance into each other's eyes, only to become lost in each other's gaze, instantly forming an unbreakable connection that will, in an appropriately healthy amount of time, transform into everlasting love, that we will embark on a mutually nourishing relationship that will make us happy for the rest of our lives.
Yes. that, or you could start with a drink.
My apartment is in a good school district. I know that. I researched it. That's one of the reasons I moved there. And I'm not raising our children in a neighborhood that doesn't have good schools with access to the internet and healthy, organically grown lunch options.
I don't think you need to mention that. Before the drink. I think there will be plenty of time to hammer out those details after the drink.
Oh, I know. I love it.
My ass is huge.
Oh, my God.
It is. It is a huge, enormo ass.
It is not
it's
huge.
It's like a planet. Planet ass.
Sarah, stop it. Why do you do this to yourself? Any man would be lucky to spend time with you. You are a beautiful woman. You are smart, professional, well-read.
Bookish.
Well-read. Funny, dynamic, and interesting woman.
And I'm a good driver.
Yes. Yes, and you have a beautiful, perfectly sized ass.
Really? Nuh-uh.
Any man would be happy to have a chance to tap that ass.
That means have sex with it, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're trying to get me laid, aren't you?
Well, my God, Sarah, it couldn't hurt, could it? Hi.
Have no fear, Sarah. We have returned with the drinks. Did you miss us?
Hi.
You made it back to us.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thanks.
How was the bar?
Awesome.
Crowded.
Sarah, did you know Jacob is a writer?
Jacob, you are a writer? That is incredible.
You're a writer?
Sarah loves books.
Not really. Not a real writer.
Yes, he is. Dude, yes, you are.
I'm a playwright.
A brilliant playwright.
Sarah loves theater, and she is very knowledgeable about it.
Playwrights aren't real writers?
Yes, of course they are.
No, no, not really.
Oh, come on.
Have you had anything produced?
Tons.
Some.
Jacob has had several productions on stages all over the country. They have been very well received, and he was commissioned by one of the biggest companies in town to write a play for a very prestigious New Works Festival.
I do most of my stuff in a garage.
A garage?
It's kind of a basement garage. It's a theater, but it's a basement. I mean, it's got a garage door. But when you walk inside, it's a basement. You know, garage, basement, theater.
Oh!
Actually, it is one of the finest small professional houses in the city. It's growing all the time, doing bold new work, and it is very well respected.
Sometimes the sound system doesn't work.
Jesus Christ!
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do when that happens?
Well, I usually just get depressed, really. Oh,
Sarah here works for King County.
What do you do?
For my job.
Yeah.
She works to protect the environment and quality of life in Seattle and to educate people about what they can do to reduce the drain on natural resources in their own communities through groundbreaking recycling programs, public space projects, and composting initiatives.
Fascinating.
My job is boring.
Oh, yeah?
She's kidding. Her job is far from boring.
Yeah, I work for the King County Waste Management Authority and Recycling Board.
Wow. That sounds
cool.
That sounds important.
It's very important work. You should check out the website. It is amazing the programs that Sarah is working to create.
Sometimes people call and think we're the garbage company, but we're not.
Oh, they think...
Yeah, they call and they're all like, hey, are you the garbage company? And I'm like, no, sir, this is not the garbage company. Let me give you that number. Let me give you that number, sir. And then I give him the number.
Oh, so you have the number right
there. So we can give it out.
So so you can give it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I can see how that would, you know.
Boring. Oh, my God,
no,
Sarah.
I can see how that would be frustrating. All those people calling, having to give out the number.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes, by all means, please do ask a question.
I'm sure Sarah would love to know more about your work.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so do you ever get the feeling that happiness is like an apple? A beautiful, bright, shiny red apple that is hanging from a gorgeous leafy green tree, but whenever you reach up to pick it, it seems like the apple is always just one branch higher than you can reach.
Sarah, you're so funny!
Tell him you're joking.
Yes.
Christ.
Yes, I do. All the time.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't feel like that all the time.
Sarah is happy. Sarah, tell him how happy you are.
What kind of antidepressants do you take?
Zoloft. What about you?
Well, I was on Cerazone, but it deadened me sexually, so I switched to Effexor.
Nice. You done it again. I'm going to have to apologize for my friend here, but don't worry. She is going home now.
I get a crippling social anxiety, so I have to go with a selective serotonin uptake re-inhibitor or I'm useless.
Yeah, dude. Okay, bring up the SSRIs. Let's bail before she calls someone over here to beat the crap out of you. Jacob, come on. We can try again when you decide to be slightly more stimulating than C-SPAN with the sound off. Let's go!
Sarah, honey, let's go home. Make sure we have at least enough self-esteem to power a wristwatch, and then we'll put our profile back online, okay?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay, fine, Jake. You know what? I'm through. That's how you want it. I'm gone, pal. And once I'm gone, seriously, you're on your own.
Oh, okay.
What's okay?
Never mind.
Sarah, honestly, I am so sick of this. I have tried and tried to help you, but forget it. I'm done breaking my back. I'm so leaving and so maybe never coming back.
Okay.
Were you talking to me? Why did you just say okay?
Never mind.
I'm ugly.
My ass is really big and I snort when I laugh.
Cool.
Around. Yes, I'm going to Jackson. Look out, Jackson Town.
See if I care.
When I breeze into that city, people gonna stoop and bow.
Ha!
All them women gonna make me teach them what they don't know how. I'm going to Jackson, turn loose in my coat.
goodbye, that's all she wrote. J-Pan fan.
And the tedding and the spreading of the straw for a bedding. And the fleas that tease in the high Pyrenees. And the wine that tasted of the tar. And the cheers and the jeers of the young muleteers under the vine of the dark veranda. Do you remember an inn, Miranda? Do you remember an inn? And the cheers and the jeers of the young muleteers who hadn't got a penny and who weren't paying any, and the hammer at the doors and the din. And the hip hop hat. Up the clap of the hands to the twirl and the swirl of the girl gone chancing, glancing, dancing, backing and advancing. Snapping of a clapper to the spin out and in. And the ting-tong-tang of the guitar. Do you remember an inn, Miranda? Do you remember an inn? Nevermore, Miranda. Nevermore. Only the high peaks o'er. And Aragon, a torrent at the door.
no sound. In the halls where falls the tread of the feet of the dead to the ground. No sound. But the boom of the far waterfall, like doom.
Never know how much I love you, I never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get fever that it's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, a fever all through. Romeo and Juliet, Juliet, she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Judy, baby, you're my flame that gives me fever. When we kiss it, fever with thy flame in you. A fever,
fever!
I'm a fire,
fever, yeah, I burn. Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know.
Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long. Fever started long. Fever started long.
Jose Juicy Gonzalez. Nice job, audience. Feeling the fever.
You will, my friends. A sunny, crisp Saturday morning in Seattle's North End.
Four mature and working women, all saddled with diminished expectations. Set off for a day trip to Laconer and Tulip Country.
Blankets in the trunk?
Check.
Chardonnay?
Check.
Condoms?
It's a pilgrimage they make every spring. A way to air out the batting of their battered city hearts and breathe in the stimulating scent of possibility and renewal. Stella and Christine have battled several rounds of cancer. And between them are missing two uteri, one breast, half a thyroid, and a pinky finger. Martha is a recent convert to diabetes and now finds her glycemic index endlessly fascinating.
How many carbs are in the Chardonnay, do you think?
Hardly any, Martha.
Only thing carb-free are the condoms. So we know who's going to be chomping down on those. Mmm, good!
Ginger, diabetes is not funny.
Ah.
Ginger, the driver of this cherry red Malibu convertible, with white walls and leather seats, has her own little health secret. A pesky macular degeneration. The slow blinding of the main focal points in her eyes. This can be a challenge for most drivers. But Ginger's got a system.
If I move my head swiftly from side to side...
Like a squirrel with ADD.
I can see quite well with my peripheral vision. At least on the freeways.
Which is the only place she drives she's never trusted surface streets.
Too much stuff in your way. Buckle in, girls. Here we go.
Goodbye, Northgate parking lot. This is so exciting.
Oh, my God. It's marvelous already. Oh, smell that sweet air.
That's the Mrs. Fields store, Stella.
Using her remarkable head-darting technique, Ginger... Interstate 5.
Skagit Valley, here we come.
I am so glad I don't have any hair.
Oh, how about a song, girls? You remember sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the White Prairies with her lover Ike.
All the way north, the ladies belted out songs in the public domain. Soaking in the sunshine, leaving their credit scores, wayward children, and worries in the dust, bulleting towards that ultimate reward, the tulip fields.
Oh, pubescent bulbs of color, straight edge fields of blushing labia, red, yellow, purple, orange.
Oh, you guys know there are no blue tulips, right?
We know.
I love that. Blue is outlawed.
Nothing blue. You can't be blue today.
Anther and filament and stigma and style and ovary. Oh, big bulbous ovary.
Yeah, let's hear it for the ovary.
Yeah. Oh, Ginger, wait.
Oh, I'm on it. I'm on it.
Oh, there's our turn, Laconer Whitey Road.
It's Whitney?
It's Whitey.
Oh, wait, but slow down, Ginger!
I'm on it.
On a wool blanket spread over the damp, alluvial soil of the Skagit bottomlands, the women drank their Chardonnay and ate daintily from a plastic tray of Whole Foods sushi. They pondered the earth's rich abundance.
I could die here.
You're not going to die, Stella.
Of course I'm going to die.
Most of these carbs are in the brown rice. The crab's pretty much all protein.
Martha added, working to bring the conversation politely back to diabetes. A breeze came up, and the tulips surrounding them shivered at the confusion and little volcanoes of fear emanating from the blankets in the midst of pure fecundity.
Just so you guys know, I've got a new lover. Her name is Wanda. She's a good driver. We're thinking of moving in together.
We know.
Oh. Okay. Good.
Oh, I don't want to go back to the city.
Who is that?
Where?
Over there in the yellow row, running towards us.
Is he waving a rat?
What's on his head?
Oh, my God. Is that?
No!
Oh, he looks pissed.
Oh, my God, you guys. I think it's Tom Robbins.
It's not Tom Robbins, Christine. Jesus, why do you think every man in LaConnor is Tom Robbins?
She's obsessed.
Well, he kind of looks like he actually could be.
He's not.
But his hair's dyed and he's got the sunglasses.
And there's a monkey on his head.
Lots of guys in LaConnor have monkeys on their heads.
Oh, man. I'm getting moist.
You're not getting moist. Now, everybody act normal.
Hey there, man with the monkey.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, my God.
Just... What do you ladies think you're doing?
Having a picnic. What does it look like?
No, I'm talking about here. What are you doing here in the middle of my tulip field?
Well, it's where the tulips are.
We like to get real close.
Hi, Tom.
But you plowed that Malibu across a dozen planted rows.
Well, obviously, you didn't supply an access road.
You're supposed to have your picnics in the designated picnic areas.
Have you seen the traffic?
It's bumper to bumper.
We'd be breathing in fumes all day. I'm moist. No, I mean, I'm Christine. Hi, Tom.
What?
You're Tom, right?
Christine.
Your name's Tom, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Tom. I told them you were Tom. I don't think you're a misogynist. In fact, I grew up reading all your books. Cowgirls, Still Life, Skinny Legs and all, and they didn't demean me at all. They understood me. And they made me wish I was a guy.
Tom, can I pet your monkey?
Look, we don't want any trouble. We just drove north on a spring day looking for a break from the damn universe.
All we want is a frickin' break, man. Can't you visualize that?
One more word and me and the monkey are gonna levitate your asses right back to I-5.
Ooh. Ooh. I told you he was Tom Robbins.
Oh, jeez.
Let him levitate us, Ginger. We're in Tulip Town.
Yeah, these are the fields of possibility.
Okay, possibly Tom Robbins. Levitate away.
No, I mean it. I mean it. I will levitate you.
So go ahead.
Right now.
You can do it, Tom. I know you can. Kick our asses.
Transform me. Change my quantum physics.
And there, in that loamy soil surrounded by the expectant and vibrating tulips, a man who might possibly be Tom Robbins hesitated slightly as the ladies waited in heightened anticipation for this messianic event to take place.
We're ready.
All right, well, I'm older now, so...
Just do it!
Jesus Christ, you ladies are...
Strained.
Rubbed raw.
Ready for the next dimension.
You betcha.
All right, well, you asked for it.
And the man, possibly Tom Robbins, solemnly warmed up both his hips and his vocal cords with counterclockwise gonad-like rotations, wildly swinging his arms.
This is how I want to die!
Shh.
Okay, ladies, get in the car.
You don't have to prove anything to us, Tom.
Get in the Malibu now!
This is it! Everyone hold hands!
I'm so ready for magic!
And possibly Tom Robbins and his monkey began to moan and wail, ululating like Nordic nursing mothers. The sounds were ear-piercing and ancient, yet mysteriously ineffective.
And the ladies sat in the Malibu, hands clasped in solidarity, waiting for the psychic disturbance to send that Malibu flying through the air like a motherfucker. But possibly Tom and his monkey had blown their wad.
Did we move?
No.
Not at all?
Oh, my God.
Shit, I'm sorry, ladies. I really thought that was gonna work.
Oh, my God. You're not Tom Robbins.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not Tom
Robbins. He's just an ordinary Tom with a monkey. Christine, it's not the end of the world.
Hey!
Stella, who had been oddly quiet, got out of the Malibu and went up to this man who was not Tom Robbins.
I'm Stella.
She said.
Hi, Stella.
I'm gonna die soon.
All right.
I'd like to do it in your field, if you don't mind.
Stella, I actually think there are county regulations against that.
I don't care.
Well, Stella, how about you come back to my place? We can work it out.
Stella.
It's okay, guys. This is where I want to be. I can't face the North End. I need the ovaries, the labia, the...
The tulips!
Yeah.
Okay, well, goodbye, Stella.
Goodbye.
We'll quit your job for you.
Thank you.
Hey, not Tom Robbins! Sorry about the tire marks and the dead tulips!
It's all good.
With that, three out of four ladies with diminished expectations, but new and profound insight, motored slowly back to Seattle, at 20 miles under the speed limit.
Hey, Jesus! It's not important! It's not important. Nothing's important!
That's telling them, Christine!
Yeah! Nothing's important!
And found renewed enthusiasms for songs in the public domain.
One evening quite early they camped on the flat. 'Twas nearby the road on a plain shady flat. Stella sore-footed lay down to repose. With wonder Tom gazed on that pike county road.
Simon.
Jason Marr.
Sarah Porbelov.
Catherine Van Meter.
Sean Bellier.
Sean John Walsh.
Laura Kinney.
Annette Tatonkin.
And please, give it up one more time for Sam and Candace Vance. And how about that Sandbox Radio Orchestra? Dan Tierney on drums. Dave Pascal on the bass and theremin. Charles Leggett on the harmonica. Special guest Sam Vance on the guitar.
And our maestro and composer, Jose Juicy Gonzalez. Tonight's episode of Sandbox Radio was written by Hilaire Belloc, Emily Combert, Vincent Delaney, Elizabeth Heffron, A.A. Milne, Jim Moran, and Wayne Raleigh. Our stage managers were Lizzie Burton and Susie Butler. And this show was mixed by Brendan Hogan and recorded by Christopher Stewart. And I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. Are bringing out our lyric cards, because now's the time in the show when we always love for you to sing along. I think you've caught the tune. Ready? Here we go. October. This episode was written by Emily Conbert, Vincent Delaney, Elizabeth Heffron, Jim Moran, and Wayne Raleigh, with original music by Jose Gonzalez. The King's Breakfast by A.A. Milne and Tarantella by Hilaire Belloc were adapted for Sandbox Radio by executive producer Richard Zeiman. The performance was recorded by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Dave Pascal. Our stage managers were Lizzie Burton and Susie Butler, with sound by Brendan Hogan. Find out more about Sam and Candace Vance at vancearts.com. For photos, live show information, and the podcast archive, dig deeper into Sandbox Radio at our website, sandboxradio.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and find the podcast in iTunes and Stitcher, where you can show your love for Sandbox Radio by posting a 5-star review to push us up the ratings. See you at Town Hall on October 5th, and thanks for listening.